Wonderful song, wonderful singing. Come on, Brother Nathan, if you will. And again, this is Brother Nathan Johnson. Get your Bibles out. If you didn't hear him in the Sunday school hour, brought a great message this morning on Behold the Lamb of God. And looking forward to what the Lord's give him for us tonight. Sure do need a word from the Lord, all right? Come mind the Lord, preacher.
Amen. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. And appreciate the goodness of God in these days. Thank you again to the church, Pastor Ledbetter, for allowing us to be here, present our work. And thank you for taking us on as one of your missionaries. It's an honor, and we count it a deep, deep honor to be a part of y'all. And it's just been an honor to be here these days. Thank you for the hotel room. It's been big enough for me and Brayden to have Nerf gun war in there. So thank you for the Nerf guns, and everything else has been great. So we've just enjoyed our time here. And this is the saddest part of the time of missions revival, missions meetings, or anything. Is the last service, the last day. But I'm asking God to help us in this hour. Take your Bibles to the book of Psalms this evening, chapter 142, the book of Psalms, chapter 142. Not a missions message, and so I will just trying to mind the will of God tonight, and I pray God to help us in this hour. Psalms 142, I'll read the entirety of the chapter. It's only seven verses this evening, and I draw some thoughts out of it and pray to be a blessing to us. Bible says this, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion, in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. In the very top of your chapter, it probably has this heading, a maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. That word maskil simply means this, a word or a prayer of instruction. So I want to use that title tonight that they've given it, a word of instruction from a cave of adversity, a word of instruction from the cave of adversity. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you tonight. Lord, we're thankful to be in this place and this hour. I pray, God, for those tonight that may face hurt, pain, and agony, adversity in their life. I pray tonight, God, that you would help us to see that you haven't caused us to come into this place to be hurt and thrown out to the side, but God, rather you've used this to make us into your image. God, help us tonight to get help in this time, for it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Here in this chapter, we find David has found himself in some adversity. I know that we have just come out of the holiday season and everybody's been happy and everybody's been joyous. But can I say, during the holiday season, when I was working for the state police and sheriff's office, one of the things I found out was it's also one of the most hard times for a lot of people. A lot of adversity comes on during the holiday seasons. But can I say this? I've been saved now since 2001. What's that, 23 years? I was raised in an independent fundamental King James Presbyterian Baptist Church. I was raised in this thing. This is what I've been raised in my whole life. But here's what I found out. It rains on the just and the unjust tonight. Adversity faces us all. I've always heard it this way. You're either going in a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm, getting ready to go back into a storm. And what I find is, in the day in which we live, a lot of Christians get knocked off to the side and say, I don't know if I can make it another day. I don't know if I can serve God anymore because I'm facing adversity. I want to give you a few things this evening by the way of the scripture that I think will help us in the days in which we live. By way of introduction, if you look at your Bible tonight, I found it interesting that 11 times David says the word I. 14 times he says the word my, and 7 times he says the word me. Can we agree tonight that this is a personal affliction in David's life? This isn't an affliction that's going on in Jonathan's life. This isn't an affliction that's going on in his daddy's life. This is David's affliction. And can I say to you and I this evening, we're all going to face afflictions in our life. And other people may look at it and say, well, I'm glad I'm not going through what they're going through. But can I say, and when I look at somebody else's, Brother Jeff, I look at my own life and say, man, I'm going through affliction my own self. And affliction will hit us all in different ways. Adversity tonight, or affliction, is defined as this. It's an event or a series of events which oppose the success or the desires of one. It is misfortune. It's calamity. It's distress. Simply put, tonight, it's a state of unhappiness. See, tonight, adversity can come in your life, but it doesn't have to be some grave thing that's hurting you and causing you pain and agony. But I'll say this tonight, you don't have to go to Walmart to find unhappy people. If we were to go to the pastor's office tonight and you were to come by one and we were to ask you, are you happy? I guarantee you, preacher, in a size congregation this size, somebody is unhappy. Things just ain't going your way. Maybe the road hasn't been that easy. Adversity has hit you and you don't know how you're going to make it tomorrow. But can I say to you, I'm glad to know that somebody told me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm glad to know that in a time of adversity, I got a friend on my side. Amen. David is facing adversity. Look what he said in verse number 1. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Preacher, I know we're on the radio. Is it okay if I move around? Will it hit the everything? David said, I cried unto the Lord. I'm glad David has some supplication. Amen. When we're going through adversity, I'm glad I don't have to go to the preacher. I'm glad I don't have to go to somebody else, but I can come boldly into the throne of grace. I can go unto the throne room of God and make my petitions known. I'm glad tonight. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care what adversity you're facing tonight. You yourself can go to God and say, God, I need to pour out my heart to you. And I'm glad there's never been a time, there's never been a day where he's turned a deaf ear to me, but he's allowed me to climb into his lap and say, son, what's bothering you? And he's always been there for me in my time of adversity. I wonder how David said, I can go unto the Lord. Well, I believe there were some things he lived in the past that got him to this point to now. Hey, you can look back in your life and say, man, I'm going through some hardships, Brother Jeff, but I can look back in yesterday and yesteryear and see where God has brought me from, and he's helped me in my time of need. Hey, thank God when we go to him, we can make our supplication known, but he wants to hear you cry. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Number 2, by way of introduction, I looked and I see in verse 2, he said, I poured out my complaint before him. I said it this morning, we as independent Baptists are real good to tell people not to complain. I mean, we raise our kids, don't complain, do we not? Eat the Brussels sprouts, eat the broccoli, and don't complain about it. And can I say to you, we'll raise our church to say, don't complain, but we're the world's worst to complain. Y'all know what I'm saying? Well, don't you know how bad I got it? Let me tell you something. I'm glad tonight I may not be there for you to pour your complaint to. And I may not be there for you to say, Brother Nathan, look how bad I got it. But David said, I poured out my complaint. He didn't say I poured out my blessings to God. And I didn't pour out my praise to God. He said, I've got a complaint. Hey, does anybody got a complaint tonight? Things just ain't going your way. Adversity's hit you. Hey, aren't you glad there's somebody that wants to hear you complain? I'm glad, listen, there's been people I've complained to and they say, well, just go do something about it. Hey, I don't think David could do anything about the situation he's in. There was nothing David could do to fix it, but he said, I've got to complain, but I can go to a God in heaven who can take care of my need. Hey, when I've got to complain, I'm glad I got somebody that can fix it. Amen. Right. I always thought about this, Brother Jeff. When I was learning to drive and when I turned 16, it flooded down in the river bottom where we live. But I had crossed it many times, just a shallow flood. When I was getting ready to go somewhere, my mama said that day, she said, now Nathan, don't you drive your truck through that flood. You're going to get yourself in trouble. And I didn't listen and heed the words of my mother. I thought I had it all figured out. Anybody ever had it all figured out before? And God says, you better not go that direction, do that, and you do it anyway. Guess what happened? I went through that flood and I ruined my truck. And you guess who the first person I called was? I called my father, not my mama. Yeah, right. Brother Jeff, guess what my dad did? He came down and rescued me out of my distress. Hey, I'm glad when I'm complaining and I've got something that I've got, God, I need God to do something. I couldn't fix my situation. I couldn't pull myself out of the ditch. But I'm glad I could go to one who's greater than I was, and he can come to where I am and fix me and pull me out of that ditch and put me back on the rock. Hey, thank God we can pour our complaint out to him this evening. David said, I got a complaint. We see David's supplication. We not only see that, but we see David's suffering. Number 3, look in verse 4. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. We see David's separation. If you remind yourself just a few days and weeks before this, the women of Israel were singing the praises of David. What did they say? Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. David went from being in the sheep field to now being in the palace of Jerusalem. Everything he touched was turning to gold. Everything he was doing was being prospered, but now he's found himself separated from those he loved. Can I say this tonight, and I hope I don't get in trouble here, but can I say David's almost in a status of depression? And can I say this? Depression is real. We all face some sort of depression. And if you're not real careful, the depression will creep on your shoulder and say, nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. The preacher hasn't been there for you. Sister so-and-so hasn't called. Brother so-and-so hasn't been there. But can I say to you, Brother Jeff, when I felt like I've been all alone and separated from those I love and felt like nobody cared about me, I'm glad that the Father said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to give you the Comforter. And I'm thankful when I got saved, the Holy Ghost of God indwelled me. And the moment I got saved, the Comforter came inside of me. In the darkest and the deepest parts of the life, when I felt like nobody cared, he's warned my soul and said, son, you're not alone. I'm here to be with you, and I'm here to strengthen you. I'm here to bear your heavy load. When I couldn't take a step, he bare me up and carried me along last way. Thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. David fell and said, nobody cares for me. But can I say this? Nobody cares for you like Jesus. And I'm glad to tell you tonight there's somebody to help you in your time of need. I'll give you three things real quick and I'll be done tonight. Look with me in verse number 3. David said this, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Can I say this tonight? In the times when you feel overwhelmed, the Father will prove himself in your time of adversity. Look at what he said. He said, then thou knewest my path. How is it, Brother Jeff, that in the time of adversity, the darkest, deepest pit that David had found himself to date, how was it that he said, thou knowest my path? Who was he speaking to tonight, church? Was it Jonathan, his blood brother, his best friend? No. Was it the man of God, Samuel, that came and anointed him to be the next king? No. Was it the king of Israel, Saul? No. But the one who said that thou knowest my path. David said, there's been hard days in my life. I can remember sitting on a sheep field and a lion came against the sheep. And I said, Lord, I need your help and I need your strength. And God delivered the lion to his hands. Then another day a bear came and God delivered the bear. And then another day he had to go face Goliath and God delivered Goliath. I believe David said this thing with Saul's greater than I can bear. It's too much and too hardship that I can do. But God, you've delivered me time and time again. I believe thou knowest the path I take in the middle of my adversity. My Father will prove himself in your life. In Psalms 37, David said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, Brother Jeff, you help me here. The Bible also says there's none good. No, not one. So do we have a contradiction in the Bible? No, we don't have no contradiction. Here's what happens. The moment you get saved by the grace of God, before that point, you're a heathen on your way to hell. But the moment you get saved, the goodness of God indwells your spirit. And Brother Jeff, from that day forward, God has ordained your steps. And David said, hey, there was a day when I felt all alone, but there came another day when God showed himself to be mighty in my life. Hey, I'm glad I can look back in my life and say, thank God he showed himself to be mighty in the days of yesteryear. Is it all right if I give personal testimony, preacher? My wife isn't here and y'all haven't got to meet her, and I pray there'll be a day we can get by and y'all can meet her. But when I got saved, my pastor told me to start praying specifically for a wife. I was born and raised in Western North Carolina, and I prayed that God would give me a wife from Georgia. And you say, why Georgia? I got tired of Tar Heels. I needed a Georgia peach in my life, amen? And so, long story short, my wife, guess where she's from? Georgia. Not only is she from Georgia, but then I began to pray while I'm praying for a wife that God would give me a firstborn son. That was my heart's desire. I got saved, got called to preach. Me and my wife meet. A year and a half into our marriage, we find out we're expecting Braden. Man, everything is going Brother Nathan's way. I'm in a church serving God. I'm giving my tithes. I'm giving my missions. We're soul winning. I mean, God is moving. It feels great. We're expecting Braden, and we make a track home to come back to North Carolina to have a baby shower. And this is how I drive. We fill the gas tank up. We drive until it goes on empty. Then you get out, fill it up. You go in the store, get what you want, get back in the car, and we drive until it's on empty again. But here's what I found out with a wife that's expecting and great with child. That's not very good. So 25 hours in the car, we finally get to North Carolina. It's about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife looks at me. We're sitting there talking to my parents. And Brother Jeff, my wife looks at me and says, "Honey, get me to the hospital. Something's not right." My response, Brother Sam, was this: "Take two baby aspirin, call me tomorrow. It'll be okay." She looked at me and said, "Hey, hardhead, it ain't like that. The baby hasn't moved in hours." At that moment, I load her up. We get her to the hospital, and they began to run tests on her. A few minutes later, 30, 40, whatever it was, the doctors walked in and said, "Mr. and Ms. Johnson, we don't know how to deliver this news to you, but you're going to lose your baby tonight. Your son's going to die." And then, Brother Jeff, the doctor stopped looking at me and my wife and looked right at me and said, "Not only are you going to lose your son, but your wife's going to die tonight as well." In a matter of seconds, the hope that I had for the future, the plans that I had for the future, all got ripped away from me, brother, in a matter of seconds from a doctor. You say, "What'd you do?" There was no amount of money that I could do to get out of my condition. There was no amount of good that I could do. The only thing I knew to do was go to the old back of that old Explorer, climb in the back of it, begin to pray to God. And in the middle of that affliction, here's what I said to God: "God, whatever your will is, I'll accept it." Brother Jeff, here's what a lot of Christians do tonight: "God, if you'll deliver this or fix this situation, I'll read my Bible more. Lord, if you'll do something different right here, I'll pray more. God, I'll get more money." Can I tell you something tonight? God ain't interested in making a deal with you. Prove it to me. Well, he didn't make a deal when you got saved. He said, "Either you come my way or no way. If you don't come by Jesus Christ tonight, you're not going to be saved. It don't matter how much good you do or how fair you pedal a bicycle. If you don't repent of your sins and get saved, you're not going to get saved." How about when God called you to do something for him? Called to preach, called to serve. It's his calling. It's his will. It ain't my way. It's his way tonight. And right then, Brother Jeff, I was going through the book of Job. And Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I realized real quick what the Lord gives, he can take away. But I said, "God, I will worship you and I will praise you. If you take my family, you're still God. You're still holy. You're still just. I may not understand on this side of eternity, but I'm just going to say, God, whatever your will is, I'll accept it." And this is the only thing he told me, "Preacher, it's okay." He didn't tell you it was going to be okay. He just said, "It's okay." You say, "What happened?" In the middle of my adversity, when there was chaos all around, when it felt like nobody cared and I didn't have a word into God, all I said, "God, was help me." You know what he did? He said, "I've got the universe to take care of. I am the God that's got the stars in my hand. I got the government on my shoulder." But in the moment that my child cries out and says, "Oh, Father," is the moment that he just pauses everything and he came to where I was and he said, "I'm not going to tell you it's going to be okay, and I'm not going to tell you I'm going to kill him, but what I am going to tell you is that your Father heard your prayer and I'm here with you in the middle of your affliction. Thank God my Father said a word to me in the middle of my affliction." I walk back in the hospital room and I know this is going over the airways. I hope I don't get in trouble. But Brother Jeff, she looked up and said, "What did God say?" I'm sure am glad she didn't ask me what Joel Osteen said. Amen. You say, "Why?" I was looking for a better me now. I was looking for God to do something on my behalf. I said, "God said it's okay." She said, "What's that mean?" I said, "I don't know, honey, but we're just going to trust God." About 45 minutes to an hour later, the doctors walked in and said, Mr. Johnson, "While you were out doing whatever you were doing, we felt like we needed to run more tests." Let me tell you what that is. That's the providential hand of God reaching down in my situation, making the doctors do something they didn't think they needed to do. They said, "We've reran those numbers. We drew more blood and began to look at things. We put it in the computer, the results, and the results on the computer says error. We looked in our books, and the books can't tell us what's going on. We pulled a board from UNC Chapel Hill, and the doctors can't come to their mind of what's going on. But for some odd reason, 30, 45 minutes ago, Brother Jeff, the numbers changed. Your son's going to be okay. Your wife's going to be okay." You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" There was a time in my youth when I needed God to do something to show himself to be mighty. And Brother Jeff, he stepped out of heaven and just said, "Let me introduce myself in your life." Hey, there's been harder times than that in my life. There's been struggles in my life. But I can go back and say, "God, you delivered the lion. You delivered the bear. You delivered Goliath. Hey, God will prove himself in your time of affliction." You say, "Brother Nathan, it ain't the answer I want. I understand that. But if you'll look around and see what God's doing in your life, He will help you in your time of affliction and show Himself to be the mighty Father that He is. Look with me in verse number 4. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Can I just say this tonight? That's a pretty depressing statement. I read that and I said, what hope is there in verse number 4? If anybody can find it, y'all let me know, all right? But here's what I found out, Brother Jeff. Not only will the Father prove Himself in your time of affliction, but in verse number 4, know this, that your friends will prove themselves in your time of affliction. Now think about what's going on in David's life. David is on the run from Saul. He can't find no refuge. He's trying to find some solace somewhere. He's ran down to the valley of Engedi. He's down in those caves, in that sandstone cave system. But when I got to go over there a few years ago. And Brother Jeff, here's what the Jewish tour guide told us. He said there was a place that we believe David was. And he couldn't see Saul, and Saul couldn't see him. David couldn't see on the other side of the mountain. Can I say to you tonight, in the time of your affliction, when you feel like nobody cares about you, you can't see what's going on the other side of the mountain. But if you'll just be patient, Brother Jeff, there'll be some friends that'll show up in your time of affliction, and you'll say, thank God they showed up on time. Take your Bibles to 1 Samuel 22 with me. 1 Samuel chapter number 22. As David is facing this, he said, nobody cares about me. No, there's no refuge fail me. No man cared for my soul. But David couldn't see what God was doing on the other side of the mountain. I heard a preacher say this in North Carolina after the hurricane came through here. He said this, in this time of adversity of our lives, those who I thought were my friends have not called me, but those who I thought were my enemies have become my friends. And can I say, that's much the way our adversity is in our life. Those who we thought would be there sometimes ain't there. And those who we thought would never come show up in due time. Look what happened in David's life. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, verse number 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Brother Jeff, what I find here is they didn't form a committee and say, well, preacher, do you think we ought to go? Hello? They didn't say, well, let's have a vote on this. So, David's down there, have affliction. Let's have a vote and see if we ought to go help him. The Bible says it's when they heard it. I was pastoring in North Carolina. It was a Monday morning. Malia, my middle daughter, she was 14 months old. And in that morning, my wife was getting ready, and Malia let out a blood-curdling scream. I ran into her room, picked her up, put her on my shoulder, and gave her to my wife. Long story short, as my wife was putting her on the floor so she could iron some clothes, my wife set her down, and Malia fell over the right side. Malia had suffered a stroke at 14 months old. The whole right side of her body was paralyzed, and the right side of her mouth drawn back. We took her to the hospital, and they discharged us in 2 months' time. She had one of the quickest recoveries that Mission Hospital in Asheville had ever seen. God delivered my baby. But here's what happens. When a stroke hits the brain, it opens up door for seizures to begin. And for the next 5 months, one a month, she would have a seizure. Boom, 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 boom. Do you know what happens when you go through an affliction over and over and over again? People get cold and callous, Brother Jeff, to hearing that prayer request. How many times have we heard somebody say, brother, will you pray for this? And we walk out the door and forget what they asked. I'm guilty. Or sister so-and-so says, sister, we pray for me, and we just forget it. We're human nature. So on that fifth one, I'm sitting at the hospital on the bench, and preacher, if this gets me in trouble, I'm sorry. But I was sitting here looking at my baby, my wife holding my baby. And I sent out a one call and did all the things. Y'all want to know how many church members called us that day? Brother Jeff, that hurt. You know how many preachers called and said, Brother Nathan, we're praying for you? You know why? They got used to hearing my baby going through that affliction and seeing God raise her up in a day or so and everything being okay. We automatically assume that God would do it again. But can I say this? That affliction in my life was just as real as it had been the previous four times. I found myself in David's shoes. I said, God, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I had no hope. I had no... Nobody there to help me bear my load. And Brother Jeff, here's what I prayed to God. I said, Lord, if this is the cost of me being a pastor, if this is the cost of me doing what we're doing here at this church, if this is the cost of me having the friends, the so-called friends, I quit. I'm done. I can't handle this no more. I've asked you to take it away from me and you ain't done it yet. Lord, I've asked you to remove this and you haven't done it. I don't understand. There's nobody with us. I need help. Bro Jeff, I'm the good preacher. You know what I told my wife? God will do it again. It's going to be all right, baby. God will do it. But in my heart, I quit. Anybody ever quit on God before? Been there. 4.5 hours later, time goes by. And all of a sudden, there came a knock at the door, and I said, come in. And guess who stood there, Brother Jeff? Brother Stacy Piercy. I looked at him, and I said, Brother Stacy, what are you doing here? I said, you're supposed to be in Georgia doing a revival. He said, Brother Nathan, you sent out a text saying that your baby had a seizure. I prayed to God what I needed to do, and God told me not to say nothing, but get in the car and start driving. He said, I've drove the past 4.5 hours up to North Carolina to be with you, and I'll just come up here to tell you there's something. I said, Brother Stacy, tell me what God said. He said, God told me for you not to quit on God. God ain't done with you, and God ain't done with your family. Brother Jeff, I'm glad that I've got a hold Holy Ghost of God that can make my petitions known to him in the groanings and the utterances of the heart when nobody else heard, when nobody else saw. I'm glad God heard my prayer request and I couldn't see over the mountain, but God stirred a man of God to come to where I was. And in the midnight hour when I felt like all hope was gone, the brethren showed up on my behalf and helped me in my time of need. How many times have we heard this? Preacher, I'll go and help them. But I just don't have the money to do it. Preacher, you know I'd go, but I've got my own distress. Preacher, I've got my own afflictions. Or how about this, preacher? I'd go, but I just ain't got it all together yet. There's just chaos and everything all around. Can I show y'all something, what David's brethren did and what God said he did in verse number 2? Look at 1 Samuel 22, verse number 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. You know what happened, preacher? God said, I'm not going to choose the wealthiest of society to help my children. He said, I'm not going to get the ones who've got it all figured out to help my children. He said, I'm not going to get those who ain't in distress, got it all together. He said, I'm going to use the outcast of society to help my people. Can I remind y'all, we're all the outcasts of society. We were on our way to hell. Last time I checked, we ain't got a private airport in the back of this church, do we? I mean, we was walking around tonight. I'm like, man, this place is beautiful. It's huge. It's like a Biltmore house around here. But here's the thing. There ain't no private jet for a billionaire to fly in here, am I right? So let me ask, is there anybody in debt tonight? Anybody in distress tonight? Anybody just ain't got it figured out? Well, guess what, Brother Jeff? We can help one another. Why is that? The moment you got saved, the Bible says we became the body of Christ. And when one body part hurts, they all hurt. And can I say to you tonight, I'm glad that the body doesn't war against itself, preacher. It doesn't come and try to cause controversy to itself. But what it does is when one's hurting and ailing, another side will come along and say, hey, let me bear your heavy load. Hey, I'm glad tonight that we ain't in this thing alone. We're not facing hardships and adversity alone. But I'm glad we got the Father. But I'm also glad we got friends to help us in our time of need. Hey, when one person's hurting, we can go say, hey, what are you praying about? How can I help you in your time of need? Hey, what do you need? I can help you. Hey, thank God for the body of Christ tonight to help us in our heavy load. I wouldn't be here tonight, I believe this, Brother Jeff, that I wouldn't be here tonight if it hadn't been for one man minding God and coming to where I was to help me in my time of need. You say, Brother Nathan, I'm insignificant. Well, if you'll just pray to God and say, God, what would you have me to do? There ain't no telling what God could do with you to help somebody along life's weary way. Look at verse number 7. I'll be done tonight. He said this in Psalms 142, verse number 7. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Not only know that your father will prove himself, not only know that friends will prove themselves, but in verse number 7, the word may gives us the tense of that verse. I'm not a real good English major. I told you all that this morning. But here's what I found out. The word may isn't past tense. He didn't say, bring my soul out of prison that I did praise thy name. That's past tense. He didn't say, bring my soul out of prison because I am praising thy name. That's present tense. But what did he say? Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Know this, Not only will your father prove himself, your friends prove themselves, but I believe in verse number 7, David will say this, know that your faith will prove itself in your time of need. Brother Nathan, how do you know that David had faith? Well, preacher, he said, bring my soul out of prison that I may. That's a man that's got his eyes on something that's in the future. David's saying, I'm looking far beyond the status that I'm in. I'm looking past the affliction that I'm in now. God's promised me a better day. Can I remind y'all, David was a shepherd boy. You study out the shepherds of that day. Shepherds were the outcasts. They were the downtrodden. They were the ones that nobody wanted to be around. They were, can we say it this way, the outcast of society. But there came a day when the man of God said, I need to see David. And David came to the house. Y'all remember the story well? David went down to the man of God, and the man of God said, kneel before me because I'm going to anoint you to be the next king over Israel. What happened? That moment that he got anointed, brother, was a moment when he got up, he was in the lineage to be the next king over Israel. I say it this way, David went down a nobody, but he came up a somebody. Brother Jeff, there was a day in February the 13th, the year 2000, that I was sitting on the back row of a church, and I was a nobody. I was the outcast. I was on my way to hell, a sinner undone, not part of a royal priesthood, not belonging to anything great. But the Holy Ghost of God came by my way. I made my way down to an old-fashioned altar, knelt before God. And I said, God, if you'll save my soul, I sure would be thankful. You know what he did? He saved me. I went down a nobody that night, but I came up a somebody in Jesus Christ. Hey, can I say to you tonight, you're not a nobody if you're saved. You're not a nobody to Jesus, but you're a somebody. Somebody. You've been engrafted into the family of God. You've been put into the royal bloodline. Hey, I'm glad that he said, I'm not going to leave you here, but I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Hey, I'm glad. Hey, Brother Dwayne said, I don't know how to say this, but I thought about this. Hey, looking above in 25. Amen. Why is that? Because I'm praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hey, can I just say this? This affliction that you're in, this hardship you're in, this trial that you're in, it's just here for a moment, but there's a brighter day coming. Hey, David looked around that cave and said, last time I checked, this ain't the throne room that God's promised me. I know there's a better day coming. Hey, child of God, look around you. This ain't heaven. This ain't the promised land. We're just going through this just for a moment, but one of these days our faith shall become sight, and the faith that saved you shall sustain you in this day. Can I say this, Brother Jeff? In our lives, we trust God, if we're saved, to save our soul from an eternal hell. We trusted with a childlike faith. So you're telling me that the faith that saved you can't take care of you today? Well, preacher, you know how bad I've got, and look how hard the road is, and look what's going on. Yeah, but if you'll look at the faith that saved you, I believe the faith that saved you will sustain you today. I thought about this. There was a day I was pastoring a church, and the church forgot to give me the check, and I went home, and I didn't know, and my wife came to me, and she said, honey, we ain't got no food. All the food's ate up for the morning, that we have no breakfast food. What are we going to do? And I said, well, go to Walmart and get some groceries. She said, honey, don't you know this, that the stores are closed and there's no money in the bank account. Anybody ever been there before? Brother Jeff, I could have gone on the phone and called them deacons and said, hey, sorry, rascals, bring my check. But I didn't do it. I could have called my mama. We lived an hour and a half away from her, and said, mama, we're coming over for breakfast. At least you would have had toaster strudels, amen. But I remember reading a book about and a biography on George Mueller. Anybody ever read that book? And Brother Ledbetter, what the book said was that there was a day when the staff came to him and said, Mr. Mueller, we ain't got no food to feed these orphans. What are we going to do? He says, sit them down. We're going to pray and thank God for the food we're about to eat. And they said, there ain't none. He says, sit them down and we're going to pray. As a man of God began to pray and thank God for the food they're about to eat, there came a knock on the door. And by the time he got done praying, the door opened up and there was the food for them to eat at that very moment. So I went to my prayer closet and I said, Lord, will you do something to show my babies that the faith I have in you is real? See, many times the kids don't see the green handshakes or the envelopes in the mailbox or somebody putting something in your Bible. They don't understand that. I mean, Malia, a couple months ago, we were walking through town and she said, Daddy, go to that square thing and get money out of it. It don't work that way, man. They don't understand. But I said, God, do something to show them that it's real. Hey, I can remember hearing my grandmother in the mountains praying that God would provide food. And in the wee hours of the morning, God would provide some food. Somehow, some way, I'd wake up. There'd be bacon and biscuits and eggs on the table. And I can remember hearing that as a young boy. And I said, God, if you could do it for George Mueller, if you could do it for my grandma, why can you not do it for me? And here's what we would all say. I'm not that type of Christian. I'm not that good. I don't amount to a George Mueller status. Can I help y'all with something real quick? God ain't interested in your status. He's no respecter of person. But what he wants you to do is have that childlike faith that saved you to say, God, I need you to help me in my time of need. Hey, we talk about faith promise. God, will you supply the need that you put in my heart? God, will you do it? But too many times we live by sight and not by faith. Brother Jeff, he wants us to walk by faith. I went to bed 7 o'clock in the morning. I hear my kids screaming, ah! I run out on the porch, and they said, Daddy, come and see, come and see. I went behind that old chest freezer that was empty on the porch, looked behind it, Brother Jeff, and I looked, and I leaned over, and guess what was on the porch? Fresh eggs. In the middle of the wee hours of the morning, Brother Jeff, chickens came up and laid eggs on my doorstep. You say, what did you do? I'm not a Catholic. We cracked them and ate them, praise God. We had fried eggs, scrambled eggs, boiled eggs, you name it. We had the eggs, amen. But here's what happened. The next morning, we had no food. What'd you do? I said, Lord, do it again. Guess what I woke up to? Clucking chickens. Bro, Jeff, we had chicken eggs from that day until the day we moved to Georgia. It got so bad. Has anybody ever had chickens before? They leave messes all over the place. I got so sick of that on my porch. I went around to all my neighbors and said, come get your chickens off my porch. You know what my neighbor said? Mr. Johnson, we've never had chickens on this hillside. We've lived here for years and nobody's ever had any chickens. We don't know where those chickens came from. Let me tell you, Brother Jeff, where the chickens came from. My God said, I could take care of a man of God and send ravens to feed him. I could send manna down from heaven and feed my children. But he said, you're my blood washed child of God. How much more does your heavenly Father care for you? And he said, just let me show you how big of a God I am. And he took care of my need in the time of adversity. Hey, the faith that saved you will sustain you. The question is this. Are you going to have faith enough to trust it? I believe in the day in which we live, we hinder the hand of God so much because we don't trust he can do it. Well, he's got me in this predicament. He can't deliver me. David said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. You know, it'd be real good and nice when people get in the altar and say, God, deliver me from this adversity because I want to praise your name again. Hey, it's hard to praise him in adversity, but what did Job do when his family was gone, when his finances were gone, when his physical health was gone? In the middle of all of his adversity, he raised his hands toward heaven and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, child of God, in the time of adversity, the world don't want to hear the sorrow you have, but they want to hear how good your God is. It'd be real good that we say, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for saving me. Thank you for a brighter future. Thank you for a home in glory. Thank God that I've got a better future ahead of me. Hey, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I've got my hope laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Thank God this ain't my home. I'm going to glory one day.
Amen.
Brother Jeff, I close with this. I was once young, but now I'm old. I've seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. And if you'd be honest, you hadn't either. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the word of God. I pray, God, you'd help your people in the time of verse to see that there's a God in heaven to help them. There's friends to help them. But we have a faith that's real. And Lord, help us trust you in the days in which we live. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.